Yo, what is good, my friends? Welcome back, Olasashi Buddhides, to the Poddo, Boldojo Poddo episode. I think it's 30, it could be 29. Let's be honest, I have not checked. And yeah, it's been a little minute. It's been a couple weeks, I think. We've been on a hype. Oh, it's probably been more than a couple weeks then. I don't know. But we've been on a hype back-to-back just marathon of boot campage. Specifically, obviously, me coaching, not me on boot camp, but me coaching boot camp. And, but it's interesting because a lot of people don't understand what I mean when I say boot camp. I think normal people think that I mean like physical boot camp when I say boot camp. In fact, some of my friends think I travel just to go do physical boot camps. That happens. But no, this is a pickup, all right? Cold approach, day game, hardcore, intensive weekends. And this podcast, you've probably already been able to tell from the title by now that this is going to be an inspirational, just riding the positivity train poddo, because I saw some crazy shit. And I don't always, I think this is probably only the second poddo I've made, maybe the third, that's titled in the, or underneath the umbrella of Thoughts After Bootcamp. So I don't do it that often, but when I do, we go hard. And actually, I think it is the third time I've done it. I normally do like a separate video. I might do like a vlog on the balcony of the Airbnb. I might do a walk in the streets or something, just with something that, and it's not for every boot camp. It's only the ones that really make me think. They really introduced a new level of thinking to me, a new level of learning, something that I didn't previously know, or just something that surprised me. But this poddo, I think I've titled it something like, I title it in post, if you're wondering, why haven't I got the title already? I do it in post, just when I think whatever's the most catchiest. But it's something along the lines of, anyone can get this shit done, right? Anyone can be successful with women. And I've always known this. Well, not always, but I've known this for a very long time. I've always known this as a coach, right? So there's so many stories. I've got like a backlog of stories I want to go into. But just setting up the overall premise of this poddo, it's that, for the longest of times, and let me draw back here. Oh, by the way, for those of you that are hardcore, you'll be very disappointed to know that this is not lemon and lime and salt infused water. It's just straight spring water. I know, disappointing. I don't know. Whenever I haven't done poddos in a while, I forget a few things. Like, I'll forget a few things in the setup here. For those of you watching on the YouTube, shout out to those of you who are watching. I actually realized that a lot of you listen to this more than you watch it. The downloads, which are hard to tell through Squarespace, through the RSS feed, but roughly it's probably about anywhere between 1,000 to 1,500 of you that will listen across the month. But these poddos on YouTube don't get nearly as many views. I think that's typical, actually. So shout out to those of you that are listening through iTunes and the website, which probably more of you here right now. Anyways, I forget a few things through the poddo, and I just forgot to infuse my water today. I don't know what's up. But anyway, that was the secondary tangent. Going back to it, the overall premise of this poddo is that, and going back so far, that I've always known that anyone can get this done. And that really sprung forth from my own experience. Like, you guys see me now, you see me killing it now, right? Having a fun time now. I won't say no social anxiety, because anxiety is fear, and fear is an inherent part of us. I've said this again and again and again. So the fear is, and the anxiety is always there, but I've just refined myself to the point where I know how to push through that. I know the exercises, I know the mentalities to get myself through the fire, so to speak, the conceptual fire that is social anxiety. I just know, I know how to get myself through that now. So you see me now like that, and you see me on the other end of it, so to speak, you know, coming full circle, so to speak. But I wish, and I do have some of it, but I would really like to have 18-year-old Adam, 17-year-old Adam sitting here next to me. That would be amazing if you could do something like that, and you would realize how much of a low place I was starting from. Right, I wasn't the hardest of all hardest cases, but I was starting in a low place for sure. Like, if you want to think of like a 0 to 10, 10 being an absolute natural, 0 being you know, just the hardest of all hardest cases you could think, like, just, you know, almost starts crying at the idea of meeting a girl, like, just sweating, and just almost throws up, you know, take him out, can't even speak to one person. Imagine that's a 0. I was probably somewhere in that maybe 4 to 5 range, you know, it's not in a good place. Definitely not in a good place. Definitely not in the upper echelon. So even for me to be able to get this done, and that's the thesis behind all that I teach and all my concepts. And that's why when you guys come to my shit, it's really my shit. Like, I don't regurgitate what other people say, because what I am trying to do here is that I'm just passing on the lessons that I've learned. Now, have I learned from other people? For sure. We learn from everyone. But it's more that I synthesize that information. I take information from a lot of people. Not really specifically in this community. That's an interesting thing that a lot of guys, you know, guys always ask me, like, do you follow this group? Do you follow this group? And in this community, I think I said it in the last pod or maybe the one before, but I really don't listen or watch anyone in this community. And I actually have a lot of friends. I have a lot of guys that are content creators in this community. I don't even watch their content. And it's not because it's not because like an FU to them, right? Just put up the bird. It's more because I want to keep my content as pure and original as possible. And I find that because I am such a sponge, that if I go and hear a content, if I go and watch a buttload of someone else's videos, just through osmosis, I'm going to take some of those ideas and subconsciously going to seep into me. So that's really where that comes from. But when I was first learning, you know, you take ideas, you take lessons from people, and so you're continuously learning through there. But what I saw with myself is like, shit, if someone like me can get this done, imagine if, right? It used to be a toy store here in Adelaide. I'm not sure if it's still alive, probably not. But imagine if everyone committed to a process of intensive action taking. Imagine if everyone decided to get this part of their life handled. Like, I could just, the possibilities, it just explodes my mind when I think about it, because I know so many guys that were in a place like me, but just didn't want to get it done. But maybe because they didn't think it was possible, right? And that's where we're tagging back here, is that it's just possible for anyone. So that was from my own experience, that I've always kind of known that it's always been possible, because I'm like, well, shit, if I can do it, probably everyone else can. But that theory didn't really get tested until I started coaching. And I've probably mentioned this one particular story before, but I'll rehash it now because it's probably ages ago. But the moment that I really, really started to open up and really kind of truly believed that anyone could be successful with women, that anyone could go out there in the day and meet an attractive girl if he, you know, committed himself to the process of learning. And it was on a day game session. It was like a community session where, you know, this is me when I'm like, I still wasn't where I wanted to be. I think it was somewhere between that 17 to 19 year old range where I would go out once every couple of weeks. And I saw this guy, this tall Russian guy, and I want to be as generous and nice as possible here, but he was a potato, right? But he was a potato. He was, if I talk about that scale that I mentioned before, absolute natural to the absolute hardest of all cases, he physically on that scale probably looked like a 3 or a 4, right? Probably like looked super, really unkept, really not the prime representation of what a male could look like, you know, superficially anyway. But I saw him take one of the most attractive girls I've ever seen. Even to this day, I can still see that image in my mind. It just burned in my brain, in my memory, my long term. And he took her on an instant date. And at this time, I'd never been on an instant date before. So even the concept of that was blowing my mind. But the fact that this guy was doing it, that made me think, or it made me have all kinds of appreciation, all depths of appreciation for what he was doing here. And that it really was like, well, fuck, if he can do it. And the ego in me at the time, you know, I would like to think that I've matured beyond this point. But, you know, part of me at that time said, well, I'm a lot more attractive than this guy, and he's doing a lot better than me, so surely I can do this. Surely I can do this. And it was at that moment that I realized that, and actually I think I have mentioned this story back in the Limiting Beliefs podcast, which to this day is one of the most important ones that I get guys to watch. And a lot of those a lot of those ideas will filter into this poddo, because that's just one of the things. Fuck. That's just one of the things, is that under that umbrella of anyone can get this done, that also includes those of you that are not physically that attractive, that are not prime representations, as I so beautifully put before, that it really comes down to a lot of things. It comes down to a lot of open-mindedness, like just having a brain that's open-minded to learning, because for sure, cold approach is a skill set. Now, don't get it twisted. Don't be the guy sitting there goes, well, so you're saying that looks don't matter at all? No, it's not what I'm saying. Of course they do. Of course, how we physically portray ourselves definitely gives off impressions. But the skill set can override that, and that's what I've seen. And if you want, I'm not going to go super in-depth into that argument and conversation because that's not really the point of this potter. But if you want to find out more about that and the limiting beliefs that surround that, like a guy who says he can't be successful with women because, you know, he looks like a potato, then go check that other potter. I'll link it up in the cards. So head over there. I'm not sure what number it is, but it's like limiting beliefs to looks really matter, something like that. So when I saw this guy getting it done, it really instilled a fire within me that's like, fuck, I can get this done as well. And of course, fast forward a couple of years, got it done. All right, got it done. I'm not going to go into my story, but so that's when I first kind of started believing that anyone could kind of do this. And then of course, through my own experience, but now we segue into coaching. By the way, if my voice sounds a little bit off, or if I'm drinking unlargely amounts of water, it's because I've had a bit of a throat thing the past couple of days, actually since last boot camp. Coaching 3 back-to-back to weekends will test your vocals for sure. Also, just in Australia down here, it got super cold. It got really cold down here, like just not like the last couple of weeks. So I picked up something, so that's what's going on my voice. Shit, I totally forgot to reset the camera. That's how long it's been since I did a potto. Fuck. Anyways, back to it. So now we segue into the coaching aspect of things, where once I did start coaching, it's almost like a prerequisite of a coach that you have to believe in your students. Because if you don't believe in them, then why would they believe in them? And I always tell my students that even when you don't believe in yourself, believe in the me that believes in you. Now, for those of you otakus, any of those of you that are hardcore into anime and seeing Gurren Lagann, that's one of the most inspirational, that's one of the most inspirational lines I've ever heard in any anime. And that's a long list of tons of inspirational lines, but that's one that really had a big effect on me. I'm not gonna, you I can't even paint the context. You have to understand, you have to watch it to get it. But believe in the me that believes in you, right? So that's a prerequisite of a coach. You have to do that. But that still doesn't, that still to this day, when really hard case students that have got, and what does hard case mean? It can mean a lot of things. It can mean he can have a lot of rock solid mindsets that are really negative. It can mean that he's just engulfed in limiting beliefs surrounding other people, things outside of him, very externally dependent. It can even be the smallest of things, like vocal projection, but in extreme. Like you take something really small, and we're going to get into this because it's part of these weekends that I've just gone through. One of the most inspirational students I've ever had was the final boot camp. I'm going to speak a lot about that because he had the hardest case of all vocal projection I have ever seen. And I've coached quite a few guys at this point across the world, and this guy ranks for sure and probably the hardest to fix vocal projection I've ever seen. So we're going to get into that, but when I talk about hard case, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's just an overall dropkick in life. No, it could be, there can be aspects of people that are hard case, you know, different areas. So anyways, what I was getting at there is that you can still be shocked. Like, even though I know to this day, and I've been coaching guys for about 2 to 3 years now, somewhere in between there. And even to this day, I can still be surprised. I can still be shocked by guys and what they can do and what they bring to the table, where they start at the beginning of boot camp and then where they end. I can still be shocked. And I find that happens every single boot camp in some degree. But really, really shocking on this. And I guess that's why with these string of boot camps, 3 boot weekends back to back, which is my first time doing that. Normally they're separated by at least a week. But first time doing 3 back to back weekends. So, and it was such contrast, but such development. And that, I guess I'll sideway. There was a whole bunch of other stuff that's probably going to fly into my mind, but I guess I'll segue into the real core thing that just blew me away was that, okay, so just to set the context, first boot camp was a 2-on-1. Shout out to you lads. Obviously, I'm not going to mention any names. We're going to get to a lot of nitty gritty here, but don't worry if any of my students, no names will be mentioned. But so that first boot camp, That was fantastic. Guy flew down from actually Vancouver. That was amazing. Down to Melbourne. First time traveling. First time ever doing going out of the country. It was crazy. That was incredible boot camp. And then the next one, and this is where I'm going to really dial in here, was a one-on-one. And then the boot camp after that was also a one-on-one. And it's the difference between these two students and the lessons that I learned from it that I want to pass on that really passes on this message of anyone can do this. Right, anyone can do this. So on the second boot camp, let me just call him Jay, right? He was good-looking Australian bloke. All right, good-looking Australian bloke. Like, no homo, but he could be on a magazine for sure. He could definitely be doing acting of some kind. And actually, he was in the military. And so when he rocked up to boot camp, he had very, very little day game experience. I think almost zero. I think he came in at pretty much zero. Like, he said that him and his mates had tried to go out at night a few times, but I'm pretty sure this was his absolute... Actually, I'm not even pretty sure. This was his first time doing day game. And this is a lesson that I've picked up before because I've coached a lot of naturals before. Now, I don't really like to use that overall umbrella, naturals, but more the term natural tendencies, because what I've seen is that I'm yet to meet a natural that is 100% well-rounded. Like, there's always a hole somewhere in the game, in their game. But so I refer to Jay as having a lot of natural tendencies. If you're looking at that scale before, that 0 to 10, 10 being the absolute natural, right? Probably somewhere in the 7 to 8s, right? Maybe even a little bit higher, something like that. And I've had this experience before. This is not the first time I've coached a guy like this before. And what always shocks me is that it doesn't matter how good you look as well, that if you don't know how to lead, if you don't know how to be the aggressor, what I refer to as having that blood in the mouth intensity, that's extreme. And for those of you that aren't watching right now, I'm punching myself in the jaw, you know, blood in the mouth, that you need to be aggressive in terms of your leading, not aggressive physically, but aggressive in terms of I'm leading this interaction. I have my intent. And, you know, even for someone like this guy, that's something he struggled with. That's something he struggled with picking up. And that's probably one of the main things we'll work here on, just, to lead the interaction harder. And because day game is such a skill set that you can take guys that are supernatural and they will still, you know, having natural tendencies, what I've seen, what it does for the girl is that, yeah, there's natural charm there. Yeah, there's a natural vibe being oozed out that's definitely getting her attracted. That's just naturally attracting her. That's part of what happens there. I'm not denying any of that. And anyone who tries to think that, or who wants to sit there and go, natural just have it so easy, this story or this example, and I've had this many times, it's not the case, right? That even with these extra points that he's getting bored based on his natural tendencies, right? A lot of interactions still fizzle out, right? An interaction will still fizzle out if you are not leading, if you're not highly aware and attuned to what's going on in the interaction. And that's what we work on across a couple of days. And the great thing about Jay as well is that he remained open-minded, he remained humble, and that's rare, that's very rare. Because if I look at the amount of guys, or all the guys that I've coached, I would say it's probably been like a 90-10 split in terms of 90% have been fives and below in terms of the scale of absolute hard case and absolute natural, fives and below. And then 10% have been in that upper echelon of leaning towards having more natural tendencies. And with all of them, it's always been the case that it's not a natural skill to be able to go out and meet girls in the day cold approach. In fact, it's not a natural skill to be able to cold approach anyone, right? We have social lubricants. We have things like meetups where you get introduced by friend to friend. You have bars where alcohol is introduced. Like, there are social lubricants that even for naturals, they need, right? And so this guy coming in, and what I've, you know, experienced with some previous guys that had these natural tendencies, that they often struggle really hard when it comes to day game, because they don't remain open-minded, right? That's one of the double-edged swordnesses, one of the double-edged sword qualities of being a natural, is that it's actually very hard to maintain an open mind, stay open to learning, be open to feedback as to what I'm passing on to you, and just stay humble, right? Humble pie, get yourself a nice slice right there. It's very hard for naturals to do that because they feel entitled in a certain way. I think I mentioned this in a previous video, but there's definitely a certain level of entitlement. And I was just really impressed with Jay and how he was able to put that entitlement away, just learn, and he did some crazy shit. And this segues into another little story here that I fucking love this story. I actually, for those of you that are not following me on Instagram, you are making huge mistakes, because I post original content there, stories, in terms of the actual Instagram stories function, where, you know, while I'm on boot camp, I'll check in when I can. I'll talk to you about what's going on in my mind, what's happening in my mind at the end of boot camp. You know, I'll be posting photos with stories in them, and there's just so much more content, because I really, coming from a photography, videography background, that's where I like to tell story a lot. So there's a lot of shit there that you're never going to see on the channel. That's really high quality shit. So at OuiTang1, that's OOI Tang1. If you're not following me on Instagram yet, especially for those of you on Snapchat, some of you have a hard time switching from Snapchat over to Instagram, get over there, because you're missing tons of content. So the reason why I brought that up was because I put a bit of this, for those of you that are up on the IG, on the gram, you would have remembered this story, but I've got to rehash it now because most people probably haven't heard it. So it's end of day one, and Jay is coming back from his first ever instant date, right? First ever instant date. Not only is this his first weekend ever doing day game, but it's his first ever instant date, and it's always a special moment for anyone. Because you gotta, you know, for me, it's like instant dates are the, it's just, that's normal now, because that's what should be happening. That's what I, you know, train all my students to do. You know, that's normal. But for someone who's never taken an absolute random person and gotten them attracted enough and invested enough to be able to be willing to go on a coffee, walk, tea, library, whatever they're going to do, you know, that's something really special. And I never shortchange it. I always go really hard on the positivity of all my students when that moment happens. So anyways, it's been a long instant day. It's been going for about an hour or so. And I'm standing at the steps of the top of the steps of State Library there in Melbourne. And for those of you that are the Melbourne OGs, you know what I mean. Like, the State Library is kind of like the hub where guys meet to go ahead and meet girls, right? So I'm standing at the steps of the library, and I'm just embracing the moment. I'm just enjoying the moment at hand, like just staring up at the clouds, just trying to soak it all in, because it's a great moment. And also, actually, just for context, Adam, don't you go with your students, or don't you at least kind of tag along with them, just, you know, in the background, just to make sure everything's going right on instant dates? I do, for as long as I can, until that's super weird and they go into a coffee store or they go into somewhere, or sometimes I even lose them. Melbourne's a busy place, right? So I will for them as much as I can until it gets weird most of the time. Can't be sitting in the coffee store next, and that's just weird. So anyways, hold on, let me reset this camera. So I tell my student to meet me up at the top of the State Library, and, you know, I'm just standing there. Now, as I'm standing there, enjoying this moment, about 10 feet in front of me, maybe a little bit further, maybe 15, 20 feet in front of me, I see three guys, right? Now, these three guys couldn't be any older than 18. Like, they would have been anywhere between 18 to 20. There's some youngins, right? And I just start to notice that they start getting really nervous, right? They start, like, darting their heads around, like, looking around a lot, and, like, their eyes keep shifting heaps. And then the energy starts to pick up, where I can't really hear what they're saying, but I can, they're rambling over something. And then all of a sudden, like probably within 10 seconds, it just hits me. I'm like, okay, these guys are out here to meet girls. Now, at first I'm like, all right, that's fine. Anyways, I'm going, that's a very common thing in Melbourne. A lot of guys do day game in Melbourne, which is good. But then it keeps on going, where they're just standing there in this little triangle, this little pussy dome triangle, right, where no girls could enter, no possible girls could enter here. And I'm just thinking about how does a dome look like a triangle, but you know what I mean, like no girls can enter. And all of a sudden it just keeps getting more and more comical, that I realize that they're arguing over who's going to approach first. I was trying not to make it obvious, but in my brain, in my soul, I was laughing so hard because of just the situation of what's going on, like the juxtaposition that I'm waiting for my student to come back from his first ever instant date, and it's his first ever time doing day game, and then I got these three guys here who are just arguing over who's gonna go and meet the girl, right? That, it's to this day, like, I'm always lost for words, right? It's just absolutely hilarious. Like, I think it's so funny. I think it brings a smile to my face in a good way, that, okay, this is a lesson these guys got to learn, that you don't want to be that guy. You do not want to be the guy that is arguing with his friends over who's going to go meet the girl. So eventually I yell out to one of them saying, hey, having a tough time deciding, something like that. Just with a cheeky smile and a bit of a laugh. And then he like realizes, oh shit, okay, someone's watching us as well now. And it was good actually that they didn't recognize me. So I just got to sit there and watch, or stand there and watch. And then he, that guy who acknowledged me, finally after like 30 seconds goes, fuck it. All right, fuck it. I'm going to go do it. And then he just runs off. He runs off in some direction and his friends are like, oh, and they're like getting so crazy, so hyped about it. And, you know, finally they get kicked off. At that very moment, my student returns. And of course we go back to work, baby. But, you know, that was a, crazy little moment, just watching what's going on there. And, you know, it's not really shocking or surprising. I'm sure that's going on around the world all the time. I'm sure that there's plenty of you guys listening in that can relate to that story of being there with your mates and you're not sure who's going to go first or, you know, who's going to approach that girl. You're going to approach her? I thought you saw her first. What, man? You don't like her? No, I do like. Well, then why aren't you going to approach? You know, I'm sure that's going on in a lot of guys' minds for sure. But that was a cool little story. So little sideways story there, segue story. Now, the real meat of it now is that, and I'll wrap back up a little bit with Jay there, but just the fact, just really summing up his story is that no matter how natural someone is, skill set, it's still a skill set. Meeting random people still requires a level of awareness. Now, as to how much awareness really depends, you know, how refined you are, how good your skill set is. And, you know, it was crazy. So I want to fast forward to the next weekend. So this is the last boot camp that we just got off. It was the third weekend in a row. And this is the one that I think in my mind sticks out as one of the most inspirational boot camps I've ever had the pleasure of coaching, you know. And I also just want to set the picture that I was almost about to cancel this boot camp, or not cancel, but reschedule, because I was in a bad way. Like, that sickness had really hit me. My throat was just burning. And I was also getting relapse memories from New York where I had no voice on the second day, where on the second day of boot camp, I literally had to scream to get, like, it was that bad. And I was thinking, oh shit, what if this happens again? Thankfully that didn't happen. I was eating real well, sleeping real well, even spent a day in the forest. For those of you on IG and Snap and Facebook, you would have caught some of that, and the Redwood Forest was amazing. So you rock up to boot camp, and so also it's actually a good point just to keep in mind that my voice is about 50% at this point, right? Right now, as you listen to this podo, my voice is probably about 80, 85. Like, it's still a bit raspy. I've still got some phlegm in the back of the throat. But imagine my voice at about 50%. I'm really trying my best to not project as much as I can because I want to have a voice for the second day. So we rock up on boot camp, right? And I hate telling this part about the boot camp because I want it to be a surprise, but by this time, I've already said it enough times that anyone who's rocking up on boot camp probably already knows what to expect. So I've got to say it anyway because it's relevant to the story, that the first thing I do with all students is that after shaking hands, I get them to do the weirdest, soul-pushing, enlightening exercise of all time, relative to where they're at. And it's what I call trial by fire, for those of you that don't know. And basically it's the last stage before I let someone on boot camp. Like, I'll screen guys on Skype. I make sure that I sit down with them. I get to their motives. I make sure that their head's in check. I make sure that they come into boot camp ready to take action, so we don't have to spend any time trying to get him physically over to the girls. All students should come ready to be able to get their body physically over there. Then we can do work. Because really what that comes down to is that if you can't get your body physically over to the girl, then you're not in a place yet. Like, you haven't decided in your mind that this is something you want bad enough yet. And it's something I can't teach you. I can't teach you to want to be there. You have to want to be there. So he rocks up, and basically what I do is, after shaking hands, I'm like, all right, man, I need you to trust me right now. I need you to close your eyes. We're standing in Fed Square, so tons of people around. Super weird. This guy barely knows me. I need you to close your eyes and take a deep breath. So close his eyes, take a deep breath. And I'm like, all right, not yet, but when I say so, you're going to go ahead and speak to the nearest five people. Can be anything, compliments, hope you have a great day, but just make sure they hear it. Don't just like hit and run. Make sure they hear it, and you receive the feedback, and then go to the next person. And most importantly, it's not once every fifth person. It's literally back to back. You see this person, boom, this person, boom, 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 boom. Trial by fire. And I go to this, and I say, take another five deep breaths and meet me at the top of the stairs. So I go to the top of the stairs and takes his five deep breaths. And based on the 5 seconds that I met him before this, I thought, oh, this could be a bit of trouble. And there are a lot of students that struggle with this, right? Some guys absolutely crush it, some guys don't. But that's what it's for. It's a great screening mechanism because it gets me to let me know, like, where is this really guy really at right now? And he goes through, and I wouldn't say absolutely destroyed it, but he did very well. Like, in terms of all the guys that I put it through, he did very well. And it was a bit of a shock because I'm like, well, I thought his projection was, you know, not the best, but it was definitely lagging. So he definitely had a lot of anxiety going on there. But he went and did it. I'm like, all right, let's go sit down. Now, as we sit down, that's when boot camp kind of begins. Well, the normal part of boot camp where we go sit down and actually introduce ourselves. We get into the format of the weekend and that kind of stuff and what to expect. And I very suddenly realized that this guy has the most reserved vocal projection I have ever been witness to. That his level of vocal projection was something like this. Hey, this is my vocal projection. Kind of like this. Talking about this. About this. So, you guys listening to a dope mic right now, so you can probably hear that all right. But let me give you the context that just between myself and him in a quiet area, I could barely hear him. Like being within a relative bubbled space together, I could barely hear him. And we're going to refer to him as, just call him V. Just call him V. So I could barely hear him, and I'm like already picking up. Oof, I've had a couple students before that have had very reserved vocal projection, but never like this. So this is going to be a new experience for me as well. And also, it wasn't just that. It wasn't just that his vocals were off. It's that he also lacked, or was a very extreme case of non-self-expression. This is something that most guys struggle with, especially when it comes to meeting girls. Like, they're just not comfortable with self-expressing yet. And then it's not comfortable to say whatever's on their mind yet. And that's fine. Like, you expect a little bit about that. I expect a little bit of that. And, not even a little bit. I expect that. Especially when on day one, for sure. So, but I'm keeping an open mind. And we head out there. And, of course, the girls are struggling to just even understand why he's there. So, a lot of quick interactions. But what's impressing me is that he's just going for it, right? He's just going ham, like no hesitation, doing whatever I say. And to me, that is always the number one prerequisite to success on boot camp is that, because what that shows is that you've got an open mind and you're ready to work. And no matter how low you're starting, no matter how low you're coming in, I've always seen throughout all the boot camps that I've done that those guys tend to achieve more, right? No matter where they start on the scale, right? They can, let's just take this arbitrary number, whatever you think a three is. If you, a three can go to a seven, right? In 2 days, and at least show like what that is. Now, he might not remain a seven. Obviously, that's within 2 day period. Extremely immersive. Got a lot of work to do afterwards. But he can start to show the tendencies and the skill set of a seven in 2 days' time if he really commits to being open-minded and just want to be there and have that intent. I've made podcasts before about just having that masculine intent and the desire to be there, right? Because that's everything he controls. And I'm just seeing it in spades from the beginning. I'm seeing that despite how unrefined, despite how extreme his vocals are in terms of extremely not where they need to be, he's just, and the amount of anxiety and nerves that he's going through, but he's not showing, like he's not breaking down. He's not hesitating. He's not doing all the things that I used to see before I started screening guys on boot camp. This is really even to a testament that, you know, using that word, it was a testament that he even got himself to boot camp. And I'm not sugarcoating that. Like, the fact that he even got himself on boot camp and now thinking back really blows my mind. Let me reset here. And what I mean by that is that the fact that this guy, with the projection of vocals that he has, it's also, of course, his first ever time doing day game. And English wasn't his natural language to begin with. He does speak English now pretty well. But, you know, so there's a lot of things going against him here in terms of the type of shit. And my boot camps are so intense and insane. I always, set up the expectation for students at the beginning that this is going to be a weekend of insanity. And any bootcamp student that's been through, you know, is probably nodding their head right now going, yeah, that was insane. Because I just do not believe in sitting in a boardroom for 2 days. No, everything is through infield experience. It's through action taking. That's how we learn the most. It's on the fly, baby. And so anyways, the fact that he's even got to boot camp is impressing me at this point. And not just that, that he's actually enjoying the process. Like, he's enthusiastic. It's not just that he's doing everything that I'm saying. It's that he wants to do everything I'm saying. It's such an intense... That is such an intense division. Because there are guys that will come on to boot camp and they'll do what I say. And then they'll just trust in the fact that whatever I'm saying, and they'll go ahead and do it. But they don't necessarily become enthusiastic about it. And that enthusiasm isn't necessarily, oh, fuck yeah, I'm really having a lot of fun with this. No, because for the most part, they're not. For the most part, they're having to not only juggle learning a very intense skill set, which is learning how to operate in front of a girl that you're attracted to. Like, it's quite the skill set. So they're learning that, but they're also having to learn how to wrangle their minds, because I'm teaching them how to give themselves feedback, and they're having to take in my feedback, but I'm also making sure that their thought patterns are heading in the right direction, and I'm planting seeds and I'm ripping out weeds. And so they've got all that to deal with, amongst the fact that all the shit that's going on inside of them. Like, when you put all that together, it doesn't surprise me that a lot of guys aren't necessarily enthusiastic about the process, right? They might be doing the absolute minimum, which is what I require, which is just do it, you know, and, you know, in time you learn to love it. You know, you could even go as far as saying that I don't even expect students to enjoy the process during the weekend. You know, they'll have peak moments. Don't get me wrong. They'll have peak moments. They'll have those instant day moments. They'll have that first number close moment, which is always just a really nice endorphin releasing, dopamine releasing, fuck yeah, I did it. You know, there are those moments with those key interactions where they met a really nice girl and they really jabbed with, and you know, and there's juicy interaction. They have those moments, but I don't really expect them in all those other moments, which is the majority of the bootcamp, where there's just short interaction after short interaction because they can't get the stop down yet, or they're messing up their intent to begin with, or, you know, there's something small going off, or they really struggle with qualification, or they're way too investment heavy, whatever it is, and it's just like beating the drum to get them out of bad habits and get them on the right path, whatever it is. You know, so I wouldn't necessarily expect someone to enjoy that process, but if you can, things just go way smoother. If you can somehow, even if it is faking it till you make it, even if it is just, it takes the life of you just to go into every interaction with a deep breath going, all right, give my best. Gambaremasu, right? Do my best in Japanese. If I can just go in with that mindset and just stay positive the entire time and just in enthusiasm the whole way through, and not necessarily that, yeah, I'm fucking McLovin this right now, but I'm enthusiastic about learning. I'm enthusiastic about the next step, about what Adam's taking me through here. And that's what this guy was doing. And I'm like, fuck. If a guy like this can maintain this level of headset, his head's in this place right now, that's just super inspirational. Like, I said this in an Instagram post after bootcamp, but success, the way I deem that a student's been successful, has absolutely nothing to do with the external, has nothing to do with numbers, instant dates, nothing to do with that at all. Because for the most part, and I've seen a lot of extreme cases, right? That's there, whether that happens or not, right? There's a lot of things that play into that. There's a lot of variables, right? But the success and the real success for a student is, where does he come in and where does he finish? Where does he come into boot camp? Where's he starting place? And where does he finish? Where does he exit? And it's the amount of growth that happens mentally there. And it just so happens that those who make a lot of internal achievement often happen to see a lot of external achievement as well. And there's not a coincidence that someone who remains open-minded, straight to the learning, right? He's got his mind in the right place. He's staying enthusiastic and optimistic about what's going to happen here. It's no coincidence that this guy also tends to see that manifest outside of himself in the forms of connecting with girls, whether that be through numbers and going on instant dates and setting up for day twos. You know, that happens. That's a correlation for sure, but it's never the determination, because I've had students, I've had students that have done amazing things with themselves, but all day didn't get a single number, right? But Adam, why? Why? Well, he must have been doing something wrong. Actually, one guy in particular, thinking about him, shout out to Nick, you know, down from Germany, definitely on the upper echelon in terms of natural tendencies. On first day of boot camp, of all the girls that he met, every single one of them had what I call logistical unavailabilities. Actually, it goes into a couple of different things. Logistical, romantic, or emotional unavailabilities. Basically, any reason why a girl can't say yes to you right now. And I'm not going to go into that now because that's why you take boot camp. But, and I was saying to him, hey man, like, listen, I'm listening in here. You're doing the right things. You're coming in the right mindsets. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff we still got to work on, but you don't have to be perfect. And the stuff that you're putting forward is enough, right? I'm genuinely feeling here that, and most of the time was that these girls were romantically unavailable, and he still kept a good mind about it. He's like, you know, I get it, Adam. As long as I'm taking in the feedback, we come in for the second day, and I'm like, I hope he keeps a good mindset here, because that was just a rough day where just the girls were just not there, all right? He was there, the girls weren't there. Okay, we're going to warm-ups for infield filming, right? The warm-ups just before infield filming, and he goes on an instant date, very first interaction, right? So it's never got to do with the external. It's about the internal things going on. And so when he's tracking back to V here, so with everything that's going on with him here, and the fact that he's even getting into interaction, still kind of blowing my mind. It's super inspirational, but he eventually goes at the end of day one on his first ever instant date. Oh shit. And it was an absolute comedy. Was it clean? No, it wasn't. Was it messy? 100%. It was one of the messiest instant dates I've ever seen in terms of getting him on it. And did a lot of things have to happen? Did a lot of things have to line up for this to happen? Yeah, for sure. Let me paint it, right? Actually quite a teed, quite an attractive Asian girl, right up my alley as well. It was after a lunch break, and just setting the context, like, his levels of self-expression are so low that we almost stay quiet the entire lunch break. One, because I'm trying to preserve my voice, but two, because he just doesn't say anything. Like, he just has no expression. He just keeps everything up in his mind. And so I'm like, all right, let's get back to it. We have a bit of a break. We get out there. First interaction going back into it, just run straight in. And yeah, he's finding his way. He's fumbling his way through qualification. He's trying to get some investment going after that. And the girl is just super down, right? She's got none of what I referred to before as she's logistically available, she's romantically available, and she's emotionally available. Green ticks. This is a girl with very few problems to solve. And eventually, they're finding their way through it. And he's trying to fumble his way through my system, through the toolbox. And he's eventually shooting for an instant date. And he's like, all right, well, you know, we should, you know, maybe we go get some tea or go get some coffee. He's so unassured about it because it's his first time shooting for it. And she's like, yeah, for sure, let's go, right? Because she's super down. And he's done enough here. He's done enough. But for some reason, just in all of his nervousness, he goes, well, let me get your number and we'll go another time. And I could hear her confusion. And I'm listening on the mics going, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck's going on here? No. And so they start exchanging numbers and they set up for another time. Now, of course, it's a done deal on the number, but because he's done enough here. But I'm like, I'm not settling for this. So he comes back to me and I'm like, dude, that was amazing. But what the fuck are you doing? Is there any reason why I couldn't hear why you're not on the instant date right now? And he goes, should I be going? I'm like, go. And as soon as I heard some hesitation, I just send him straight back in and he starts running. And she's only like 20 meters away sitting on a bench. But in all of this rushed, like comedy rush, He starts calling her to try and find her, but he doesn't even realize that he walks straight past her. Runs straight past her as he's trying to call her. And I'm like, no, she's like right there. And so I'm like, oh, this is such a comedy moment. I fucking love it though. I absolutely love it. And, his call ends, he's trying to call her. I call him saying, hey man, you walk straight past her, head back in the other direction. And they eventually go on the instant date. Fuck. Now, like I said, an instant date for anyone, especially the first one, is always a particularly special moment. But for this guy, this harked back. I got memories of one of my first ever bootcamp students. Shout out to Jordan, who is my old partner, used to instruct me back in the day. He will remember this. There's a guy named Steve-O. He was probably, in my mind, and he may even be listening, I'm not sure, but shout out, hope you're doing well, mate. He sticks out to me as the number one hard case of all time I've ever coached for a lot of different reasons. Not going to go into it now, but we got him on his first instant day on I think it was the second day, maybe in the maybe in the end of the first day. I'm not sure. It was so long ago now, but this moment with V reminded me of that. And so I don't think V ranks as the absolute most hard case because for a lot of different reasons, but he was definitely on that lower echelon. And for him to be going into the day to have this girl super down into him and they're loving it. And like this to me is that this sums up the Potter, right? It's like anyone can do this shit. If you just apply yourself and you keep the right mindsets, fuck. And I'm just going to reset this camera. Also reset my voice, getting raspy, baby. All right, we're back in here. Sorry, I just had to reset my voice there. It's getting super raspy. So one of the most inspirational moments I've ever seen in my life. And yes, it was messy. But the thing here is, guys, is that, and a lot of you, maybe not those of you listening to the Potter, because I know those of you that do listen to the Potter, you're more the hardcore and you kind of get it. But for a newbie listening to this going, but didn't a lot of that, didn't a lot of that had to happen because you were there, Adam, because you were coaching him and because you had the awareness and you were able to give him the feedback and push and push and push? Yes, of course. But listen, none of that matters if he doesn't get himself there. Right, this story and this conversation is not happening if he's not able to physically move his body there. And not only just that, but to have the mindsets that go with it. To have the mindset that goes, I'm ready to learn. Or I'm going to do what Adam says. I'm going to be enthusiastic about it. I'm going to try and keep a positive mind. That is so hard to do on boot camp. Like I cannot paint enough how much pressure I put the guys under. Like just in terms of pressure, I don't mean like I expect you to be like this, not like that. Pressure in terms of, hey man, I don't give a fuck about how you feel right now. Let's go again. Let's go again. Listen, I know that you're struggling. Listen, I know you got nerves. I know you got anxiety. Hey, it's boot camp. Let's keep going. You will never see a moment from me that shows any level of undue sympathy. I got empathy for all of them, but you'll see, like you said you want to be here. So you're never going to see any sympathy or undue sympathy for me that goes, oh man, like, yeah, we'll take a little bit of time off. I can see you're struggling. Oh yeah, that's all right, man. That's all right. You're doing all right. Like, you know, it's okay, man. It's okay. It's okay. It's never that vibe. Like, I'm not like a drill sergeant at the same time because I have the empathy in terms of I know how they feel because I went through that shit myself. But it's like, hey, I don't care really how bad you're feeling. We're going to keep going. And a lot of students listening into this right now would 100% be giving the thumbs up going, yeah, no matter how much bitching I did, or no, not that any of them really were like that, but no matter how tough those moments where I did say, oh, fuck, I am starting to feel a little bit drained now, Adam was always like, yeah, we'll squeeze out a little more juice right now. We'll squeeze out a few more. We'll do five more, right? I'm always like that. So getting back to it, yes, I had to be there for a lot of that to go down, and yes, the coaching that he's been through, for sure. But that was all his decision. And none of that happens without him being ready mentally and to just throw him down. Like just, all right, I'm going to throw down here and I'm just going to trust. And that's why he's with me, right? That's why he's gone to a coach like me. And that's what I say to guys when they try and reconcile when's the right time to get a coach. For me, the right time to get a coach is when you're at rock bottom in terms of ideas. Rock bottom in terms of ideas, like you just don't know what else to do. And there's always something to be said for just wanting to skip the learning curve, cut the learning curve and just go straight to the best. But with that being said, I feel like there's a lot of benefit to at least trying to be doing it on your own to begin with. And then when you're out of ideas, go seek someone who knows what to do. I do apologize if you can hear a saw outside, because the guy's doing construction next door. This mic's pretty good, so I hope you come and hear that. Probably not more distracting than my raspy voice. So he's on this first instant day, and yeah, it's so rough, it's so messy, but it's just one of the most inspirational things I've ever seen. We fast forward through day two, and day two is more difficult. Day two is always way more difficult than day one because I give them the wheel, so to speak. In terms of, we focus a lot on solo exercises because that's such a crucial thing to me, that it's not enough for me to just go hard on this guy for 2 days and not leave him with the skills to be able to go out on his own afterwards and be able to get it done, right? That to me is very irresponsible for someone who's in my position to, you know, it's paradoxical because students might think that they want just 2 days of me just, you know, kind of babysitting to, so to speak. And when I say babysitting, I mean like taking full control. But to me, that's not what I want for them, because then they'll be left after bootcamp going, shit, what do I do next? And always feel like they're dependent upon me. I want my students feeling independent. I want them feeling like they know what to do. I can't force a student to go out and meet girls after bootcamp. That's 100% on them, right? But I am, I will be damned if I leave a student leaving bootcamp not knowing how to go about it afterwards. So that's what day two is on. And that's really intense because there's a lot of solo exercises that are super intense that we do. And I'm not going to go into them here. That's why you do bootcamp, right? You know, secret sauce, baby. But just know that day two is definitely more intense than day one. And that he got through all of it and with the same enthusiasm and with the same dedication and with the same, you know, chutzpah just to throw down. And it was like at the end of bootcamp, I often get pretty emotional towards the end of bootcamp, especially with students that have left a mark on me and I kind of left a mark on them, like particularly guys that had a really hard time, you know, and you know, we're doing debrief at the end and we're going through his infield footage as we're breaking it down. And he's just like, his mind's blowing up. It's opening up. His eyes are like, fuck, you know, and that's why I invest so heavy in my infield section of it in terms of the analysis, because, you know, it's something, there's something to be said for, you know, Adam telling you all weekend, yo, go harder in qualification, speak your mind. But when you see yourself fucking that up, it's totally different. It's a totally different thing for this guy to hear me saying, dude, every single interaction, vocals, 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 we've got to get that voice coming up. And I'm just on him all weekend about it. But then he finally gets to hear the girl being louder than him, that the girl has stronger vocal projection than him. And the mic's on him, right? You can barely hear him. Like, for him to be able to hear that, it's incredibly mind-blowing. And it also takes something of the ego. It takes something of a person to subdue his ego in that moment and go, all right, I need to learn from this and not reject it. Right? I've had one student in the past who could not handle infield filming. And so I prep all students for filming, saying, listen, I don't think you're going to be this type of guy just based on the guy I'm judging in front of me. But infield filming is not about looking good. In fact, if anything, infield filming is about looking your worst. Like, I want to see you at your worst. That's why we don't do it at the end of the day. We do it at the start of the day so we can see you in your raw form. And I've only ever had one student in all of my time coaching now, and all the guys that have coached across these different countries, I've only ever had one guy not complete it. Jordan, if you're listening to this, I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. No names mentioned. And I wish the best for him now. I hope he's gotten over it. But there was one guy who could not complete infield filming because of his ego. Because he was like, no, oh, listen, I normally look a lot better than this. Normally I'm way better with girls than this. I'm like, listen, that doesn't matter at all. That's what I want. I want to see you at your worst. But he couldn't reconcile that and he couldn't finish filming. He had a bit of a barbecue breakdown, as we used to call it. A bit of a meltdown. So anyways, the fact that this guy was sitting there in front of this and taking in all of this feedback in, you know, in a positive way, incredible. Absolutely incredible. And as I sum back up through here, fuck, we've gone for like over 50 minutes here. It feels like so short. I've just been going straight from the heart. Anyone can get this shit done. And I've known this for so long. As I started off this podcast, that it was really seeing that tall Russian dude who was quite frankly a potato, right? Seeing him taking this stunning go on instant date here in Adelaide as well. You know, small town, baby. Small town. That was incredible. And since then, I've seen a lot of guys who do not fit society's mold, right? They're not the good-looking, square-cut jaw, Caucasian, six-something, you know, jacked. You know, they're not that stereotype, that you know, genotype. They're not that type of guy. Yet they still do incredible shit across bootcamp. And, you know, I see that again and again and again. It's just that the reason why I wanted to make this Potto at this time was because it's never happened before where in one boot camp, I had someone who's on the upper echelon, natural tendencies, right, in Jay, and the very next weekend, I have the complete opposite. Like, and they're both the extremes as well. Like, they're both the extremes of what I could see. And for me, it's just, I wrap up as Potto by saying that I learn just as much as students do, right? Sometimes I think a little bit more, but you know, it's not a competition, but I say as students as well that I typically learn just as much as the students do. And that's why I coach, right? The reason why I coach is not as altruistic as you think. I guess it used to be very altruistic. It used to be just because I want to change people's lives. But I quickly realized at a point that that wasn't the only reason. And it would be lying to myself if I said the only reason why I do boot camp is to help change lives. Now, is that a really big part of it? Yeah. Do guys come walk away from boot camp having life-changing experiences? For sure. Do you think that this guy who can barely even speak about this, right? That's his vocal projection. Do you think that him going on an instant date and his first ever day of doing this is not going to change his life in some way? Of course it is. He'll never forget that for the rest of his life, right? It's incredible. So there's a big part of it. And I love that. I love that part of coaching. But to be honest, it's what I learn from the students. It's what I learn from how they interact from each other if it's a two-on-one. It's what I learn from how they handle pressure, from how they learn, how they stay open-minded, and how someone so low, coming from such a low place, can travel so high in such a short period of time, and vice versa, from someone who's in such a high place, can make sure that he keeps growing, right? That's important. That's important that Jay by no means had an easy time on boot camp just because he had natural tendencies. No, he got pushed to his limit as well. So there's learning. There's so much learning, and that's really just my core purpose in life. I just want to learn as much as I can, and that's the vehicle boot camp is. It just allows me to learn as much as I can. Of course, boot camps receive tons and tons of value that, and that's what I strive to give every single boot camp. I give my all. But it's just it never ceases to amaze me how much I learn. And one of the things, and one of the biggest lessons, is that anyone can get this shit done. So if you're a guy listening to this who's been thinking, maybe you're dragging your heels. Hold on, let me reset it. You know, maybe you're dragging your heels. Maybe you're a little bit caught up in your mind thinking, oh, can I really get this done? Is it really possible? Take it from me. If you don't believe in yourself, believe in the me that believes in you. Shout out to Gurren Lagann. Great anime. Watch it if you haven't yet, just for the inspiration factor. Right, just believe in the fact that I believe that anyone can get this done. Right, anybody with the right mindsets, like you take on the right mindsets, you take the right action. Right, anyone can get it done. It's just a matter on you. Right, it always comes back to you, and that's what I see through bootcamp. Right, the guys that achieve the most, they take the responsibility. They're just like honest with themselves. You know, part of getting onto bootcamp, especially a bootcamp like me, is that you know I'm going to be an instructor that's just going to give it to you straight. I give you the straight dope that I don't bullshit anything. I don't sugarcoat anything. I really get to the nitty gritty. And that's because I really care. I care that my students have the opportunity to change, that they're not being lied to, that I'm never going to give them false hope. It's like, if you're really struggling, I'm going to let you know. Now, not am I only going to just let you know, I'm going to let you know how to fix it as well. Of course, you know, there's always a game plan, but I think that's part of why I love doing this as well, is that I really have no expectations. I don't set the expectation that you're going to achieve this or that. No, it's like boot camp is just the beginning. Boot camp is how we analyze and diagnose your issues. And you're going to see a lot of crazy good things as well, but it's really setting the scene for what you need to do after boot camp. It's the work that happens afterwards. So I know, you know, if any of you have been thinking about taking boot camp, just know that that's what it's about. That for me, it's for all students. It's about the work that comes afterwards. Bootcamp is just the diagnosis and the analysis. Just so happens that if you can come correct to it, a lot of good shit happens as well. I mean, it's all good shit anyway. You learn anyway. So I'm going to wrap it up here because feeling good as well. Even though my throat's off, I feel like when I speak from the heart the most, and this on topics that come from the heart, which is just, that's what this is, I can just go for hours and hours and hours. But I will wrap up here. Keep it succinct, keep it sharp. And I thank you guys for watching. I thank all of you that support the channel. I thank for all of you that, you know, drop a thumbs up on the video, that send a comment in, drop a comment on the video, that, you know, DM me on Instagram or Snapchat or Facebook. Please go over to Instagram. There's so much good shit going on Instagram, @uitang1. You know, I appreciate all of you guys for that. And just being along for the ride, being along for the journey. Let's be honest, I'm probably not really doing this if no one's listening and watching, right? That's just a factor of life. Probably move on to something else. So the fact that you guys are listening and watching, you know, that's a that's just a sign to me that it's being received. And it's like a paradox that I don't really give a fuck. Like, when I say that, it's like, for some reason, if this didn't work, I'm on to the next thing. You know, I'm never like caught up in any one thing. It just so happens that you guys received this content really well, and I'm really appreciative of that. So thank you guys. Domenegato gozaimas. That means thank you. That's the most polite way of saying thank you almost in Japanese. The Japanese is going very well, by the way. I'm learning a lot. Very happy with it. Ureshi desu. And I think I'll leave you guys here with it. Don't forget, if you did enjoy this video, thumbs up down below, comment as well. If you would like to find out more about where you can, you know, pick up the ebook, booking for a one-on-one Skype call or bootcamp as well, links to that are down below, or just hit up bowldojo.com, bowldojo.com. That's where the website's at. And you know, it's been I'm taking a couple weeks off bootcamp before we line up any new things. For those of you in the US, potentially end of August, maybe New York, something like that. But after 3 weeks of bootcamp, I need some time to reset myself, and then we'll hop back in. But anyways, inquiries, always send them in, and we'll plan some shit out. I thank you guys very much for listening, and peace and happiness as always.